Welcome to I Don't Need That Yet, the podcast where we explore the journey of families navigating the delicate balance of caring for a loved one who needs support. I'm your host, Lisa, a seasoned nurse with over 20 years of experience specializing in elder care and caregiving. Through my years of practice, I've witnessed the challenges, the triumphs, and poignant moments that come with supporting aging loved ones. In each episode, we'll dive into candid conversations with experts, caregivers, and families, shedding light on the complexities of aging, the healthcare system, and the emotional journey of caregiving. Whether you're facing difficult decisions about long-term care options, advice on navigating healthcare bureaucracies, or simply looking for a supportive community to lean on, I Don't Need That Yet is here to provide insight, empathy, and practical guidance. Join me as we embark on this compassionate journey together, because even if we think we don't need it yet, understanding and preparing for the challenges of caregiving can make all the difference when the time comes. Thank you for tuning in to I Don't Need That Yet, and let's navigate this journey of care and caregiving with compassion and grace. First of all, we're going to talk about three main components, the first being compassion fatigue, the second being mistakes other people have made, and the last is overestimating the decision-making of a parent. So let's go back first and talk about compassion fatigue. I'm going to use the book I really like by Charisse Nance, who is a LCSW and a CCTP. Her book's called Overcoming Compassion Fatigue When Helping Hurts, which I always thought was a great title. So a lot of people tell me they don't even really understand what compassion fatigue is. And to be honest with you, the first time I heard the term, I wasn't really sure either. They don't really teach compassion fatigue in school, unfortunately. Nursing school, healthcare, and all the places where lots of caregiving occurs. So let me read the definition to you right now. Compassion fatigue is the emotional distress or apathy resulting from the constant demands of caregiving for others and consistently witnessing pain, suffering, and trauma. Compassion fatigue is a serious yet natural consequence of helping people who are experiencing pain. When we help other people, we have direct contact with their lives. The compassion many of us feel for those we help can affect us in both positive and negative ways. My name's Lisa Doyle, and I'm going to talk to you on our podcast, I Don't Need That Yet, about what every caregiver needs to know. One of my other favorite discussions around this is the mistakes other people have made. And I'm going to talk about three of those right now. The first being not allowing other people to help. A lot of family in this mode have a good idea of what their loved one needs. And let's face it, the reality is they do know best what their loved one needs. They care about them the most. They've been around them the most often. That doesn't mean that others cannot help and that all care, all interactions do not have to be perfect all of the time. We do not walk around the universe in a bubble wrap, protected and shielded from everything. And we're not made to be. So when you don't allow others to interact or help or provide you a break as the caregiver, you're not only depriving yourself of being the best quality caregiver, you're depriving the person you care about that you're caring for. They need to have challenges outside of you. Trust me, they're going to get sick of you as much as you could get sick of them if you have compassion, fatigue, or burnout. Speaking of burnout, let's talk about that definition. Burnout is reserved for more extreme circumstances. Burnout occurs when one's outlook on life has turned negative because of the impact or overload of their work. The signs and symptoms here become chronic and physical illness develops. Burnout is frequently experienced in helpers and caregivers. It's not uncommon for helpers to experience depression, anxiety, or vicarious trauma, which is when a helper is exposed to the story, emotions, and energies a client expresses when speaking of this trauma is as though you were present. Remember, we're often in the presence and helping other clients in their most vulnerable state, practicing unconscious empathy while assisting our clients with managing depression, anxiety, trauma, and grief is a heavy medicine ball for us to carry on a daily basis. I love how that's put, by the way. So when you're trying to avoid burnout and you're not allowing other people to help you, you are exposing yourself to a very high risk and a mistake that other people before you have made. It may not affect you or your loved one right away, but in the long term, it will affect you both. So, if you want to avoid the mistakes that other people have made, the first one is allow other people to help you. Allow other people to help you. The second is not taking breaks. Individuals who have the unrealistic belief that only they can care for a loved one puts them in a position of never leaving the loved one. And when you eventually burn out from never leaving the loved one, then things can get worse pretty quick. So one of the best ways you can allow other people to help, which is mistake number one, is to take breaks that allow you to have quality of life. And let me be clear. When I say quality of life, I don't mean breaks to go shopping. I don't mean breaks to go to the doctor's appointments. I don't mean breaks so you can fix the broken stairs or deck or your car. I'm talking about actual, restful, not having to use your own body for thought and mind breaks. So, if you want to avoid the second mistake, allow others to help you and take breaks. The third mistake that I see lots of people make is not adding individuals to the care team. When you have experience with a family member where they haven't trusted anyone, every time you bring in someone that new into the picture, they get distrustful and paranoid and grumpy, and they tell you later how they wish it was you and that they didn't do that great of a job and lots of comments like that. Well, part of that was created by you never having the expectation that someone besides you is there, just like a parent can do with a young child. Their expectations go up and they demand you. And why wouldn't they? Think about it. You know before they have to ask what they need. Similarly to a kindergartner. Think about it. I have 3 children, and I know each of their likes, preferences, needs, and wants almost simultaneously with when they have them. And that's awesome. I'm their parent. I should know that. However, when I go to take an outing with a family member, a loved one, I need to have the confidence that they have the patience to wait. When a new person who doesn't know them like the back of their hand is involved. And if I am not adding to that care team early on, I am setting precedents that they are going to always and forever require me because they never have to lift a finger. You always anticipate their every thought, care, need. So the mistake that I recommend that you avoid is add to the care team before you need it. Let me repeat these 3 mistakes and how to avoid them. The first one is, mistake number one is not allowing help. Mistake number 2 is not taking breaks. And mistake number 3 is not adding to the care team. Let's avoid all of these by adding to the care team early, by taking short breaks, And that allows people that you care about and care about you to be help and support. That is my three favorite care or breaks to give you, tips, sorry, to avoid an issue.
Whether you're a caregiver, a family member, or simply curious about aging and care, I Don't Need That Yet is the podcast for you, where you can be informed, uplifted, and empowered. Subscribe to I Don't Need That Yet on your favorite podcast platform and join us on this journey of care and caregiving today.